Okay, so we are holding on paid days on the days 8 lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the concept that Avodah Zarah is Mitame. We said it's Midrabanan, and we mentioned the Machlokes of Rabbi Akiva. In our Mishnah, we had Rabbi Akiva saying it's Mitame like a Nida. Then we brought a Mishnah from Avodah Zarah where the Chachamim say that actually it's Mitame like a Sheret. So we said now we actually have we actually had so far two different hekeshim between Avodah Zarah and various other sources of Truma. Later on, as we go along, we're going to see there's a third one as well. We had a hekesh with Nida and another one with Sheret. Now both are about kibbutz. Now Nida, in that the pasuk says tizim kama dava, you should throw it out like a dava, which is another word for a Nida. And there's a comparison with a Sheret. It says shaket to shakteni. The pasuk says you should consider it disgusting. You should consider it like a sheket, and a sheket is another word for a sheret. So both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim agree that there are both those hekeshim. So we were discussing. So what exactly are they arguing about then? So Rabbi had explained that both of them would agree that a sheret is metame. That both of them would agree that Avodah Zarah is metame like a nida to a certain extent. Namely, that if you carry it, you become tame, even if you're not touching it. But the machlokes was whether it's metame with an even mesoma. If you have a heavy stone, sitting for, there's a couple of different explanations among Rishonim what exactly the situation is with even mesoma. Everybody agrees it means a heavy stone, but Rashi explains that it means that the stone is actually on top of pegs or something. Then you have the source of Tumma, let's say the Nidr or whatever, sitting on top of the stone, and Kalim sitting underneath the stone. So the weight of the Nidr is not at all touching, and the weight of the Nidr is not at all on top of the Kalim, because you have this big heavy stone in between, and the stone is resting on pegs. That's called Evan Masoma. And we said Rabbi Akiva would say that just like with a Nidr, the Kalim that are under the stone would be Tomei, and everybody agrees with that as far as the Nidah. So Rabbi Akiva would say the same thing then applies as far as the same thing applies to Avodah Zarah. Where Chachamim would disagree and say that not. In that sense, we're comparing it to a Sheret. And we said, so what about then? So what is Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbi Akiva, in what sense is there a comparison with a Sheret? And we said as far as Meshamshei Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself, but the things that are used to serve it. Those kinds of things would not be matame but matza at all. Those would be like a sheret that they're matame only by touching them. So all of that was one way of understanding their machlokes. Now the Rabbi Loza Omar. So now Rabbi Loza says the even mesoma to kula alma like tligi below the matama. No, it's like this. When it comes to even mesoma, then everybody agrees that that an Avodah Zarah is not Mitame in that way. So again, if you have a heavy stone on top of pillars or something, and you have an Avodah Zarah on top of it and Kalim underneath it, even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree that those Kalim remain Tahor, because after all, that you do have the Hekesh with a Sheret, and a Sheret is not Mitame with Evan Mesoma. So it's not Matama with Evan Mesoma. Keep pligi b'masa. The machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is actually whether Avodah Zarah is even Matame when you're carrying it or not. Again, keep in mind, I mean, those two things are not necessarily interdependent. According to Rabbi Akiva, they may be, but they don't have to be. That is, something can be Matame when you're carrying it, but not with Evan Mesoma. For example, a novella is like that. A person becomes Tame when they carry a novella, but they're not Tame. The person is Tomei when they carry a Nevela, but the Nevela is not Mitame the Evan Mesoma. So now the question is, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, is it like a Nida in that regard? Is it like a Nida in that regard that's Mitame the Master? Rabbi Akiva Sovak Nida, Ma Nida Mitame the Master, Avodah Zarah Mitame the Master. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say that, at least as far as Master, we are going to compare Avodah Zarah to a Nida, on the basis of the pasuk tizrim kamo dava, and say therefore that it is metame when you're carrying it. So not even the summer, fine, but because after all, for that you have the hekesh of sheret, but at least that it is metame when you carry it. But rabbanon tzavri to sheret, whereas the rabbanon hold, we're going to consider Avodah Zarah like a sheret because of the hekesh shakas to shakbenu. Ma sheriff, when the time of the Masa, after let it go, when the time of the Masa. So therefore, the comparison is that just like a sheriff is not the time of the Masa, neither is Avodah Zarah. So then the question is, so according to Rabbi Akiva, what are we doing with the Hekish, the sheriff? Which it says, Shaket Tehemzenu. Now, okay, the Gemara could have answered, okay, just the fact that it's not Matame, that it's not Matame, the Evan Masama. The Gemara wants to use an answer similar to before when we asked the same question on Rabbah. We said that we found an answer, that we found an answer why in what sense it was compared to Sheriff. So now the Gemara wants to be able to reuse the same answer. The answer is, and the question was anyway, so in what sense is it compared to a sheriff? The answer is l'misham she'ah. Not as far as the Avodah Zarah itself, but as far as the mishamshim of the Avodah Zarah. So you have the kalim that are used to worship the Avodah Zarah with or whatever. Those, Rabbi Akiva would agree on a tame, only the maga and not the masa. In that sense, they're compared to a sheriff. The Avodah Zarah itself, that's why you have the hekesh with nida. And the Rabbanan l'may hilchse ikash l'nida. Meanwhile, according to the Rabbanan, why do we have a hekesh with nida? If they say that the Avodah Zarah is not metame like a nida at all, it's metame like a sheret, only when you touch it, not when you carry it, and not the master and not the Evan Masama. So in what sense is it b'chlal like a? In what sense b'chlal is it like a nida? The answer is like we said before, man nida einala evorim. Just like if you have an aver that comes off a nida, then it's not metame with the tumah of nida. It can be metame with a tumah called aver menachai, which is similar to tumas men, but it doesn't have any special tumah for the fact that it came from a nida. The same way avodah zarah is not metame leivorim, that if you have an avodah zarah that came apart. That was taken apart, for example, which the Gemara is going to discuss that point later on, then it's not Matame. Different explanation of Nida and Matame Leivorim, by the way, is also that, So the question again, Rabbi Akiva, L'may Hilchse Itkash L'Nida. So the question is, okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, what are you telling me? So we're saying that there's a hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, and you're saying the comparison, according to Rabbi Elazar, is only Lamasa. We're saying there's only as far as that it's Matame when you carry it. In that case, Loitre L'Nevela. In that case, why don't you compare it to a Nevela instead? We had a similar question when we discussed Rabbi's opinion, when we said that we asked the question, according to the Rabbanon, if according to Rabbi's version, the Chachamim agree that Avodah Zarah is Matame Lamasa, but they say they just disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say it's not Matame the Evan Masama, then we have the question, so why do they say, so in that case, according to them, why compare it to a Nida to teach us that din? Better compare it to a Nevela, which has the same din, that's Matame when you carry it, but not Evan Masama. And we answered because we want it to teach us that it's not Matame Leivarin. So now we're going to use the same question and answer on Rabbi Akiva. If according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva agrees that an Avodah Zarah is not Matama with Evan Masama, only with Masa, then Lamai Hilchse Ikash L'Nida, Lamasa. Then why is it compared to Nida as far as telling us that's Matama when you carry it, Loitre L'Nevela? Instead, make a Hekesh to Nevela. The answer is Einochanami. The answer is indeed it could have compared it to Nevela. Ella, but the reason why it compares it to Nida, Man Nida, man nida ain't a leivarim. Avodah Zarah ain't a leivarim. But just like a nida is not matame limb by limb, the same way an Avodah Zarah is not matame limb by limb. Only when you have the entire Avodah Zarah together.
Could you explain exactly what it means limb by limb?
Well, meaning in other words, in the case of a nida, if you have a limb it comes off her, if you have a limb had to be amputated from her, for example. If it has both of the gidim v'atzomos, if it has in it flesh and if it has flesh and bones and nerves or whatever gidim are exactly, blood vessels, whatever, then it's matame like a limb from a dead person, but otherwise not. And in any case, it's not matame. It doesn't have any special tumor for the fact that it came from a nigger. It's matame. It, 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 it's matame like Eiv Menachai, like it's matame as Eiv Menachai necessarily. But there's no special Tumah on it for the fact that it came from a Nida. So by the same token, we're saying in this when we're saying that there's a comparison to a Nida, so again, in Rabba's explanation, this was according to the Chachamim. In Rabbi Lazar's explanation, this that we're saying is according to Rabbi Akiva. But either way, we're saying the fact that it was compared to a Nida was precisely to teach us this fact that it's not Mitame Le'evarim, that an Aver, that if you have an Avodah Zarah that was taken apart, then the individual pieces of it are not Mitame. Now, we asked yesterday the question, what about the wall of the house that fell down, where we said the individual stones and whatever of it are Mitame? The one answer I'd mentioned yesterday is that, we talked about a couple of possible answers yesterday. One explanation is that Rishonim give is, let's say you're talking about each individual stone is worshipped by itself. So let's say, in other words, it's not like an Avodah Zarah where they worship only the statue as a whole. Here, let's say they worship each individual stone, so therefore each one is going to be Metame. That's one answer. The Baal Amor gives a different answer, that there's a difference between a statue which is made in the form of a person or in the form of an animal or what have you, where therefore when it doesn't have that form, it has less significance versus a wall or a house or whatever, which doesn't have any particular form to it. It's just a bunch of stones piled on top of each other. So therefore, each individual stone by itself could be Metame as well. Okay. So the question is, again, if we're saying that a nida is not matame le'evarim and avodah zarah isn't either, then, which in other words, unlike a nevela or a sheret, a piece of a nevela that's at least the size of a kezayis is going to be matame. A piece of a sheret that's at least the size of a kadasha is going to be matame. So therefore, we need the comparison to nida to tell us this din that's not matame le'evarim. We wouldn't have known it from any other kind of tumah.
And in the case of nida, it's a piece of it is not matame, as opposed to other tumas.
Right. Well, I mean, to be exact, it can be matame with tumas mes, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be matame with tumas mes, depending on whether it has both of the gidim ba'atzamas. But it's not going to be matame with any. It's not going to be matame with any particular tumah of a nida. There's no difference with this piece with this limb which has both of the gidim ba'atzamas, whether it came from a nida or from anything else or from any other kind of person. Okay, so the question then is, but we have to deal with Rav Chama Bar Guria's question, which we mentioned already yesterday, which he asked that exact question, is Avodah Zarah Metame limb by limb? If you have an Avodah Zarah that was taken apart, is it Metame or not? And so we're going to discuss that question further on Omud Beis. So the question is, if we're saying that both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva agree that there's a hekesh between Nida and Avodah Zarah to tell us it's not Matama Le'evarim, then what's the question? Tishit Le'meha, according to Rabbi Lazar's understanding, he should be able to answer the question, Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rabbi Akiva, Dein Le'evarim. Very simple. The answer is Rav Chama Bar Guria K'Rabba Masni. The answer is Rav Chama Bar Guria learns the Machlokas like Rabba, which we said yesterday that Rabba holds that everybody will agree that it is Matame B'Masa. The Machloit, this is only on Evan Masama. And then we said that only according to the Chachamim then would we say that the Hekesh with Nida teaches us that it's not Matame Le'evarim. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Hekesh with Nida teaches us that it's Matame with Evan Masama. So therefore, Boila, a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. So he's asking, what would Rabbi Akiva say according to that? Would Rabbi Akiva then say that it's not Matame Le'evarim? Because in other words, would he say that we're making the Hekesh with Nida L'chumra to make it with Evan Masama and also L'kula to make it not Le'evarim, or maybe only L'chumra? Okay. Mesa, the Gemara says, has a contradiction. On Rabba. A Braita says, Avodah Zarah k'sheretz or Meshamsher k'sheretz. A Braita says, Avodah Zarah is like a sheretz, and the Meshamshim, the things that are used to serve the Avodah Zarah with, are also Matamel of a sheretz. Rabbi Akiva, Oimer, Avodah Zarah k'nida or Meshamsher k'sheretz. Rabbi Akiva says, the Avodah Zarah itself is Matamel like a nida, the Meshamshim are Matamel like a sheretz. So the Shleimel of Rabbi Lazar, Nicha, so according to Rabbi Lazar, this Braita is very good. Elo Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, it's a problem, because according to him, even the Chachamim agree that Avodah Zarah is Mekameh when you carry it, which is not like a Sheret. In that sense, they agree that there's a certain comparison with Nida. And then the question is, but the Braita is saying it's like a Sheret, without saying at all that it's like Nida. So what would Rabba do with that? Now, the Gemara figures the Braita is a better source to ask the question than the Mishnah, because our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, that was quoted at the beginning of the sugya, just said Avodah Zarah is Mekameh, just mentioned a case of a house of Avodah Zarah, where we said maybe the house itself is being worshipped, and we said it's Mekameh Kesheret, and the Rakeva said like a nigger. But here it explicitly says Misham Sheah, implying that the Avodah Zarah is no stronger than Misham Sheah. And therefore, just like Misham Sheah, everybody would agree is not Mekameh the Matzah, so it sounds like neither is the Avodah Zarah. So what is Rabba going to do with that? Rabba, who says that it is Mekameh, the Matzah, according to everybody. The answer is, Amalach Rabba, Mia Limim Mekameh. But Rabba is going to answer you, after all, is the Braita indeed any stronger than the Mishnah? Because Tony Avonah of the Eighth of Asar of Mekameh Kesheret, we said that when the case of the house that fell down, we said the stones and the wood and the dirt of it are Mekameh Kesheret. We're keeping the Mai Kesheret for the time of the Evan the summer. And we said that when the Chachamim say it's Mekameh Kesheret, meaning not that they say it's not Mekameh B'Masa. It is Mekameh B'Masa, according to them, but it's not Mekameh with Evan the summer. If one of them is underneath a heavy stone and the Kalim are above it, or vice versa. Chachanami, the one time of the Evan Masama. So the same thing, the Braisa may mean the same thing. Not to say that the Avodah Zarah itself is not Matame the Master, but rather to say that the Mashamshim, but rather to say that the Avodah Zarah itself is Matame, life is Matame like a Nida to a certain extent, the Master, but not when it comes to Evan Masama. So in other words, the Machshon thought that the question from the Braita is stronger because we're saying it mentions Meshamshim. So therefore the assumption is that it's comparing the Avodah Zarah itself to the Meshamshim. And the answer is, the Ritva says, when the Gemara is answering that it's no stronger than the Mishnah. In other words, he says when the fact that the Braita mentions them as two separate things, it says Avodah Zarah to Sheret or Meshamshim to Sheret. Means that actually it is making a distinction between them. It's saying both of them are like a sheriff in a certain sense, but there's a sense in which Meshamshim are completely like a sheriff and Avodah Zarah is not, according to Rabbah. Namely, that Avodah Zarah is Mekameh, that Meshamshim are not Mekameh the Master at all, so in that sense they are completely like a sheriff. The Meshamshim are completely like a sheriff, and Avodah Zarah itself is somewhat like a sheriff, but not completely. Somewhat like a sheriff in that there's no Evan Masama, but not completely in that there is Tumas Masa. So therefore, the Rabbah can neatly explain that right. Okay. I have another kind of so Hokanam is the one Matami the Evan Masama. So the same thing that means that Avodah Zarah itself is not Matami the Evan Masama in this Braisa over here, and therefore there's no contradiction on Rabbah.
Evan Masama is when you have an Avodah Zarah on top of the Meshamshim?
No, Evan Masama, we said, is when you have a heavy stone, for example, that's on top of pegs, and then you have some other kalim underneath the stone. So in other words, so the weight of the Avodah Zarah is not at all resting on the things under the stone. So we're saying if it was a nida on top of that stone, then the things under the stone would be tame. I, her weight is not on top of them at all, but it is a tame anyway. The sifra learns it out from Sukkim. So Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabba, Rabbi Akiva would say Avodah Zarah is exactly like nida in that regard. If the Avodah Zarah is on top of this heavy stone and kalim are underneath it, then the kalim are still going to become tame. The Chachamim would say that not. According to Rabbah, everybody agrees. According to Rabbi Lazar, rather, everybody agrees it's not Mekameh with Evan Masama, and the Machloek, this is only about Masa. So again, so the Gemara had asked from this Braisa, where it says Avodah Zarah Kesheret, the Mesham Sheah Kesheret, and it sounds like completely the Avodah Zarah is like Sheret, and how would Rabbah explain it? Rabbah who says that the Rabbah who says that everybody would agree it's the family when you carry it. The Avodah Zarah, and we're answering that no, actually the Braita itself is showing a distinction by the fact that it says separately Avodah Zarah Kesheret to Mesham Sheher Kesheret, that each one of them is like a sheret in a different way. The Mesham Sheher Avodah Zarah, the kalim that are used to serve the Avodah Zarah, whatever, are metame only when you touch them, like a sheret. The Avodah Zarah is metame also by carrying, which fine, that's not like a sheret, but it's not metame. The Evan Masama, if you have the Avodah Zarah itself on top of the stone and kalim underneath the stone, then they won't become tame in that sense. It's like a sheret.
So there are three types of tumah transmission. One is carrying, one is touching, and one is...
What is Evan Masama, right.
Okay.
For purposes of our sobriety, I mean, there are other kinds of tumah as well. There's tumah oil, but whatever. We're going to get into another type of tumah called tumah heset. You have sometimes there's a tumah involving moving something even without touching it. It's related to masa, but we're going to see actually in the case of a zod, there's a special case. So actually, now we're going to get into that. But Mesir, Gemara says, I have another question on Rabbah. We learn in a Braisa, Nochri ben Nochris, Avodah Zarah or Mesham Sheher, as far as a Goy or Goyta, or Avodah Zarah or the Mesham Shem of Avodah Zarah, Hain, they themselves are Tomei, the Loy has Satan, but if somebody carries them, he does not become Tomei. Now, the word Hefet usually means moving, and the Gemara is going to address that later and see whether, in fact, that's what it means over here. But right now, the Gemara is assuming, for purposes of the question, that the word heset over here means moving, means picking up. So it sounds like the Braita is saying that if you pick up a goy or a goita or a vadazara or a mshamsher, then they're not matame when you carry them. Rabbi Akiva oimer, hein. Rabbi Akiva says they themselves are tame, they have Satan, and if a person carries them, then they are matame. So b'shleima the Rabbi Lazar micha. So according to Rabbi Lazar, that's good because he says a vadazara is like sheret and it's not matame b'masa. El the Rabbi Kasha. But according to Rabbi, how does it work? According to him, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva say that a vadazara is matame b'masa. So the answer is Amalach Rabbah. So Rabbah will answer you. According to your own svara that you're asking from this braita, you have to anyway figure out. You have to figure out. Nochri v'nochris. There's something wrong with this braita. Nochri v'nochris nami hein v'loyah Satan. Are you telling me that when we're saying that if you were to carry a goy or a goita, then you're going to say the same thing, hein v'loyah Satan. They themselves are tomei, but you're not tomei when you're carrying them. V'hatanya, we learn in a different braisa. The braisa says, when the pasuk says daber el bnei Yisrael, or dabru, really, it's supposed to be, el bnei Yisrael, when it introduces the concept of ziva, by Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to address the Jewish people, and tell them about the dinim of ziva, and so when it says bnei Yisrael, it means bnei Yisrael matamim b'ziva, ve'in nochem matamim b'ziva, midaraisa, only Jews are matamim b'ziva, goyim or not. Avo, but we learned in the first parak of our Masechta, Chachamim gozru aleihem l'chol tiyumatamet shiyu kazavim l'chol divrehem. The Chachamim made a gzera about a goy or a goita that they're matame like a zav for all purposes. So in other words, as we said, we learned in the first parak that we made a gzera that all goyish men or even boys above 9 years old have tumas zav. All goyish women have the tumah of zava. So therefore, so yes, if you carry, in general, of course, if you carry definitely a zav or a zava has tumas maga. We've been saying that all this time. So there's no question if you carry a zav or a zava, you're going to become tumah. So you're going to say that in this braita, the word heset refers to picking them up. Then what do you mean when it says nochri v'nochri that they're not matame the heset? They are. Based on this zera d'rabbanan. But obviously, Rabbi says you can't. So forget about asking a question from me from this braita. We have to first figure out what the braita is saying. There's obviously something wrong with it. Ela, Rabbi Mataris Tanei. So rather, Rabbi is going to be able to explain the braita according to his own shitta, and he's going to say it like this: when it says Nochri v'Nochris, Hain v'Hesetan v'Evan Mesama Shalahen. When it comes to a Nochri or Nochris, what is going to be metame. They themselves are tame. They are metame a person who picks them up. And also, Evan Masama Shalahem, and also if the Zavar, the Zavar, are sitting on top of an Evan Masama, and there are Kalim underneath it, then those Kalim are also going to become Tame. Again, even though the weight of the Zavar, the Zavar, the Goy, or the Goyta, is not at all pressing on the Kalim, because the stone is sitting on top of pegs, nevertheless, the Kalim are still going to become Tame. Avodah Zarah is going to be different. In other words, we're going to break up the Braisa. What I said, Nochri v'Nochri, Avodah Zarah, Omsham Sheah, we're going to break it up. We're going to say that's talking about different cases. Nochri and Nochri, all kinds of Tumah, are Matame. They themselves are Tame. Picking them up is Tame. Evan Masama makes the Kalim Tame. Avodah Zarah, he then says, Avodah Evan Masama Shalom, Avodah Zarah. It would be metame if the Avodah Zarah itself is tame, if you touch it, or whatever. Also, if you pick it up. But not Evan Masama. Rabbi Akiva, Avodah Zarah is either a state of Evan Masama, Shalom. And Rabbi Akiva would disagree and say that with Avodah Zarah, Evan Masama is metame also. So the Braisa would go that way. So in that case, then there's no contradiction from it on Rabbah. But Rabbi Lozer, Metaris Etame, Rabbi Lozer then would explain the Braisa, according to his shita. Nachri v'nachri tein v'hesteit and v'evin v'samah shalahen. Yes, with the first part he would explain that Rabbah, that a goy or a goyta, they or their hesteit or evin v'samah, all of them are metame. So in other words, according to both Rabbah and Rabbi Lazar, when the Braisa said hein v'loy hesteit, there was something wrong with that, obviously, because obviously a nachri or nachris are metame v'hesteit. So that's why we're saying, according to both of them, we're breaking it up. We're saying Nochri v'Nochris has a din of its own, and then Avodah Zarah Omisham Sheah has a separate din of its own. So Rabbah has said that it means that there's a difference only as far as Evan Masama, according to the Chachamim, and according to Rabbah, no difference, and according to Rabbi Akiva, rather, no difference at all. Rabbi Lozer would say that Nochri v'Nochris, yes, they're in a category of their own. They're Metame, they themselves, or their Hesed, and they're Evan Masama, because sure, Evan Masama applies to Evan Masama applies to a Zav or a Zava, and the Rabbanon therefore to a Goy or a Goyta. Avodah Zarah, he v'loy hasteita. Avodah Zarah, though, when we say hein v'loy hasteita, that actually would refer to Avodah Zarah, that the Avodah Zarah itself is not Metame Behesit, if you pick it up. Rabbi Kiva, Oymer, Avodah Zarah, he's a hasteita, whereas Rabbi Kiva would say it is Metame if you pick it up. So therefore, so both of them can explain the Braisa according to their own ways, and therefore therefore it works according to either one of them. However, Rav Ashi says, all this time you're assuming that the word Hesed refers to picking up, refers to what we've been calling all this time Tumas Masa. But if that's the case, my Hain. In that case, then the question is, what do we mean by the word them? In the Braisa, meaning, in other words, that obviously they themselves are Tame, because otherwise if they themselves were not Tame, then there's nothing to talk about Hesed. So why are we even mentioning the word Hain? Just say Nachru v'Nachas Avodah Zarah Omisham Sheah Hesedon or V'loy Hesedon or whatever. Why bother mentioning the word Hain at all? Rashi mentions another explanation from his Rebbeim that the question, what does it mean Hain, is why is it saying Hain in the plural? The question is, if Rabbi Akiva is referring to Avodah Zarah only, then why use the word Hain? So Rashi says, I don't really like that question. First of all, we said the Braisa itself, we have to correct the wording of the Braisa anyway. So Hain could be referring to everything according to either Rabbah or according to Rabbi Lazar. The answer that Rav Ashi is going to give doesn't really address the question of Hain. Rav Ashi is going to address the point of what Hesed means in this Braisa. He's not really addressing the question of what Hain at all means. So Rashi doesn't like that explanation and says and sticks with the first explanation that the question is, what do we mean Hain? Why bother mentioning Bechlal that the Avodah Zarah or the Zav themselves are Tameh? Obviously they're Tameh if they have Tumas Hesed. So Elo Amar Rav Ashi Hachi Kama. So Rav Ashi says, okay, we have to explain the braisa as follows. Nochri v'nochri, when we say the word hein, bein hein shei situ as achirim uvein achirim shei situ oisam tmeim, whether a goy or a goy, because again, the Rabbanim, they have the din of nochrim, because they have the din, the Rabbanim of zobim, rather, so therefore, whether they move somebody else, or whether somebody else moves them, they are somebody. Now you have, in other words, there's a concept, besides that we have too much master that we've been talking about all the time, which is that if a person carries a zava or a zava, they become tame. There's an additional din that is unique to zava and zava, and the other ones in that category, also nida and yaledis, you have all four of them are treated the same as far as this goes, where if they pick up a person, even if they're not carrying them, also that person becomes tame. As we're going to have an example, soon from a Mishnah or a Bryce, actually. That's going to give an example of that. So if a nochri or nochri, when we say hein behes seitan or hein v'loy hes seitan, what we mean is if a goy or goita, which have the gene of a zava or a zava, if they move somebody else or somebody else move them, tmeim, either way, that somebody else is something. Avodazara sheit sita achirim tahorin. Meanwhile, an avodazara is going to be different. If it moves something else, then they are tahor. Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon that an avodazara is a statue. How is it moving something else? But achirim sheit sita oisat meim. But if other people move the avodazara, then they are tahor because of tumas masa. Again, this is according to Rabba. This is specifically according to Rabba, who says that avodazara is matambi b'masa. So far, Rav Ashi is explaining like Rabba. So again, if somebody else picks up the Avodah Zarah and is made with it, then they will be Tomei. Misham Sheha, on the other hand, when it comes to the Mishamshim, when it comes to the Kalim used to serve the Avodah Zarah, then Bein Hein Shei Situ As Achedim, or Bein Achedim Shei Situ Oysem Tehurim, then the other things are going to be Tahar, whether the Kalim moved them or whether they moved, or whether they picked up and moved the Kalim, because the Shamsha Avodah Zarah, everybody agrees, are not Metameh B'Masa. Rabbi Akiva Oymer, and then Rabbi Akiva would say, Nochri and Nochris Va Avodah Zarah. He would say, Nochri and Nochris and Avodah Zarah are all in the same category. Bein Hein Shei Situ As Achem Bein Achem Shei Situ Oysam Tmeim. Whether they move somebody else or whether somebody else moved them, then those somebody else are going to be Metameh, because he says that Avodah Zarah is completely like Nida, in that it's Metameh B'Masa, and also in the special tuma that applies to a nida and to a nida and the other ones in that category of being able to be metameh by something else by picking it up. Meshamsheha bein henshe sitrachim bein achemshe sitroitim tahurim. Meanwhile, the meshamshim are not going to be metameh in that way because they are not metameh b'masa or behed. So in other words, when the braisa uses the word hein when the braisa uses the word hein, means if somebody else picks them up, and has seitan, when we said in the braisa hein v'loy has seitan, or hein v'has seitan, it means when they pick something else up, and hein would be when someone else picks them up. So according to Rabbah, we would say, therefore, the braisa is saying what we've been saying all this time. A goy or a goita are for sure like a nida, or like a zav, and they're matame a person, whether the person picks them up or whether they pick up a person. Rabbi Akiva would say the same thing as far as Avodah Zarah. The Chachamim would disagree. Rabbi Lazar would also be able to explain the braisa according to his way, that he would say, hein, the nochri and the nochris are matame whether you pick them up or they pick them up, whereas Avodah Zarah and Misham Sheha are not matame whether you pick them up or whether they pick them up, according to the Chachamim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, the Avodah Zarah is matame when you pick it up. So you can explain the braisa according to both of them, as long as you understand. So the point is, Rav Ashi is saying that the word hein behes seitan means that you're talking about hein means you picking them up, and a seitan means them picking something else up. So again, here's where Rashi brings in this that I was saying before, that his Rebbein explained that the original question was, why are we saying hein why are we saying hay? And what's the plural referring to? If after all, according to Rabbah and Rabbalazar, we're only talking about Avodah Zarah, but no, because we are, because Rabbi Akiva is talking about Nochri and Nochri as well, and even Rabbalazar is saying, at least as far as Masa, there's a certain similarity. And also, anyway, the answer doesn't really address the question of why it would say Hain in the plural.
Could the Hesetam have any other meaning than them carrying you?
Well, so originally we assumed that Hesetam means you carrying them. And that led us into the question, because what do you mean, Nochri and Nochri are not? So originally we wanted to explain that we're saying we're breaking up the Braisa and distinguishing between Nochri and Nochri on the one hand versus Avodah Zarah and Shamshea on the other hand. Now Rav Asi is telling us you don't need to do that. Hesetan in this Braisa means you picking them up. And then Hain means them picking you up.
It's kind of stretched, isn't it?
No, because I did not, but that was the question. Why is it saying Hain the Hesetan or Hain the Loya Hesetan? What is the word Hain adding? Obviously they themselves are Tomei. So that was what led Rav Ashi into this answer, that Hain the Hesetan means two different kinds of things, you carrying them or them carrying you. Okay, so now we have to ask the question, practically speaking, Now, when it comes to an Avodah Zarah, a statue, obviously you could have somebody picking it up. How do you have a scenario of Avodah Zarah causing something else to be, of Avodah Zarah picking up something else? Avodah Zarah, after all, is a statue. It's inanimate. And therefore, so it can't pick up something else. Rishonim asked the question. I mean, so what do you have? You could have, we said before in the case of Evan Masama you can even have a stone in between, and we said with a Zob and a Zobah, it makes them tummy. And here you could also have, let's say, things that are placed on top of the Avodah Zarah. You have, let's say, you pile up things on top of the statue. So that would be the equivalent of it carrying them. The answer is that would be considered masa, so it's such a thing as tumas masa, but basically that only applies to something that's actually capable of carrying things. And Avodah Zarah being an inanimate object is not capable of carrying things. So therefore you can't really call it that carrying or being maseth them either. So how do you have the Avodah Zarah being inanimate? How is it going to be maseth? How is it going to cause anything to move? The Gemara could have answered, it's possible to have living creatures that are Avodah Zarah. You could have a person is worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. You could have an animal is worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. But instead, the Gemara is going to give a different answer. And the answer is, Amen Rami, Brejit of Yeva, Kititnan. As in fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech Zavim. Actually, part of what we're going to learn here is in a Mishnah, and part of it is in a Braisa. So therefore, in the Masech Hashas, it says it should really be Kititanya. Anyway, hazov bekaf moznayim. Suppose you have a zov on one side of a balance scale, va'oichon mashkin bekaf shniya, and then you have food or drink on the other side of the scale. So what happens? Kora hazov tmein. If the zov is heavier and his side goes down, and therefore the side with the food and drink goes up, then they are going to become tamei because the zov was nase at them. Now again, that would not apply. That's a unique kind of tumma that does not apply to other kinds of tmeim. If you had, let's say, for example, a mess on one side of the scale, and you had the food and drink on the other, and the mess was heavier, then the food and drink would not become tamei. But over here, the food and drink are going to become tamei because the zov moved them. But koruhein tahorin. But if they were heavier and they went down, then they're tamei. Now they're not metame because
Now they're not metame because they moved the zav, because then the only way for them to be tame with the zav's weight resting on them would be tumas midras, and food and drink are not subject to tumas midras, because we learned back on Daf Nun Tes, Rashi refers there over here, that when you tell them I'm moed v'nasim alachteinu, get up, we want to use this for our work, then it's not metame with tumas midras. So food and drink are like that. Food and drink are not made to be sat on or leaned on or whatever. They're made to be eaten and drunk. So therefore, they're not metame. Therefore, they're not metame with midras. So if they were heavier, then they're going to be tahor. As opposed to if the zav was heavier, then they're going to be tame, because in effect, the zav picked them up. So the same way, in other words, so suppose you have the same thing. Instead of the zav, put an avodah zarah on that side of the balance scale. And that side of the scale goes down, the food and the drink or whatever go up, and sure enough, therefore, they become tummy. So you see, therefore, that it is possible for an avodah zarah to do too much hesed to something. So that would be the case. Okay. The Gemara says, fine. Kiman ozva hodatanya. Okay. So now, according to which Tana, then, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, which Tana would be the author of the following braisa? Kol ha-tumah is ha-mesitah, any tumah that moves something else, for example, by being heavier in a scale or whatever, tahoris, so the other thing remains tahor, chutz me-hesetah shol-zav, with the exception of the heset of a zav, sholam asinu le-chavir b'chol ha-tora kola, which we have no comparison to it anywhere in the Torah. There's no other case where a source of tumah is going to be the tame something that it picks up. So lemer deloyke Rabbi Akiva. Would we have to say this braisa is not according to Rabbi Akiva? The ikra Rabbi Akiva hoykanami avodah zarah. According to Rabbi Akiva, we just said the same thing would be true as far as avodah zarah. Now the question is not on Rabbi Lazar, because according to Rabbi Lazar, everybody agrees that Avodah Zarah is not metame the masa according to Rabbi Akiva, it's only metame the masa, not with heset, not with Evan Masama, not with any of these special tumas of Azov. According to him, the comparison with Nidah was strictly lekula to tell us that it's not metame le'evorim, but according to Rabbi, who said that Rabbi Akiva holds that Avodah Zarah is completely like Nida or Zaba, it's Matambi Bamasa, it's Matambi Behesit, it's Matambi with Evan Masama. So according to him, this Braise, it seems, cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva, because the Braise is saying that only a Zav has the Tumah and nothing else. The answer is, I feel the same with Rabbi Akiva, Tani Zav, hold the dummy. Like, the answer is very simple. We could say the Braise is according to Rabbi Akiva as well, but when it says Zav, it means a Zav and anything else that is in that category, which includes the category of Zav, includes also Zava and Nida and Yeledis, but Rabbi Akiva would say that it also includes Avodah Zarah. So it doesn't mean just the Zav itself, it means the category of Zav. And it's true, outside of that category, you never have this kind of Tumas Hesed, where if the tumor moves something else, that the something else is going to be tame. By the way, returning to the matter of the balance scale, just to mention, if it was food and drink on the one side of the balance scale, the seesaw or whatever, then it's going to be tahor if it was lighter than the, then it's going to be tahor if it was heavier than the zav. But if it was a keli or a person there on the scale, either way, the keli or the person is going to become tame, either because the zav picks them up with their weight, or because they carried the zav on their weight by causing the zav to rise up, right? By causing the zav side of the scale to rise up. That's why we mentioned that for food and drink, where again, as Rashi says, food and drink are not subject to too much midrash, because I'm worried benasim alachteinu. Okay. So fine. So now we've gone through Rabba's and Rabbi Lazar's explanations of the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And each of them has ways of explaining the various braises, and so far there's no contradiction on either one of them. In the end, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Lazar, because again, the whole tumah of Avodah Zarah is only Dirabbanan, and therefore that's one reason to go according to the more lenient opinion. Okay. Boy of Chama Baguya. Avodah Zarah Yeshna Le'Evarim Eina Le'Evarim.
So the Chama Baguria has a question now, which we mentioned a couple of times. Is Avodah Zarah Metame when it's broken, when it's taken apart into pieces, or not? So again, not like with the wall, for example, where maybe each piece of the wall by itself is being worshipped as a separate Avodah Zarah. That Tosfos mentions that at the beginning of the sugya, that people are still worshiping each individual stone or piece of wood or what have you. The Baal HaMor gives a different answer, which is that it's one thing when you have a statue which is meant to be in a certain shape, in the shape of a person or the shape of an animal, and now it doesn't have that shape, so therefore maybe it's not in a tame like that, as opposed to a wall is just it's made of individual stones that are not they're not carved into any particular shape or something. Not nishtana mitzurata is the expression he used. Okay. So the question is again whether Avodah Zarah is matana like that Levi. So the question is like this: Hey, chadahed yochalach zira. If it's the kind where it can easily be put together even by a non-expert loyti boyloch, then there's no question that kaman mechubdum chaberes dami. Then for sure it would be considered like it's still attached together because it's very easy to put back together, and therefore yes, definitely the pieces of it are still matana. The question would be if a hediot could not put it back together, if it's the kind of thing where you need a professional, a craftsman, to put it together. So now the question is, so maybe now it should be considered like broken. Or maybe not. After all, it's not missing anything. There's no particular piece missing. No particular piece is missing or broken or whatever. All you need is to get an expert to put it back together. And maybe therefore it should still be metame. So that's the question. Okay, the Ika de Boiloch Lahakisa, then there are others who explain that Rav Chama Bar Guria's question is the other way around. If it, according to the second version, just the opposite. If a hediot could not put it back together, then there's no question to command the mitzvah dummy, that it's as if it was broken, because the fact that you need a professional to put it back together right now until you can find that professional, there's no question it's considered broken. The question, if I care, maybe it would be if the hediot could put it back together. So my. Given the hediot yochalach zira commanded machabra dummy, would we say that the hediot could put it back together? Would we consider as if it's already attached? Or jomahashemir kashalpa v'shalya? Or maybe not. Maybe right now the fact is it's taken apart. Maybe therefore it should be mutter. Therefore it should be mutter, or not really mutter, but in other words, the evorim of it should not be matame. So the Gemara says teku. So we have a teku. So we're teku. We're not sure what the din is. The Rambam paskins lakula. The Rambam paskins lakula. That in that case is not matame. So the Ketzet Mishnah over there just said briefly. I mean, look, you know, the whole thing is a din d'rabbanan. The Ketzet Mishnah just says the boy of the loy of shita. It's a question that wasn't answered, and therefore apparently the Rambam is makel in it. The Mishnah Lamelach gets into a long discussion over there of why should that be so. First of all, again, the question is, b'chlal, on the face of it, Rav Chama Bar Guria's question, we were saying before, was only according to Rabba. We said according to Rav Elazar, there'd be no room for the question, because according to him, we know that according to the Chachamim, there's barely any comparison to a Nida at all. We said Adrabba, the comparison to a Nida was precisely that. That's not Mekamele Barim. So according to him, so if we say the halacha is like a chachamim, not like a rakiba, so the Mishnah Lamelach discusses. So what's the question? Why are we even leaving it open as a question? So he has a whole different explanation of Rav Chama Bar Guria's question that it would go even according to the chachamim. So in particular he says that where the hediot yochalach zira, it would be matame, which is the first version over here. So that question could even be according to the Chachamim that maybe when a piece is unscrewed from it or whatever, it would still be metamic, and the fact is it was basically considered put back together. Okay. But again, we would say that we would ask the question, but then we would say it's a sophist. We would say that it ends up being a sophist. Okay. Next, another question. What happens if an Avodah Zarah is smaller than a Kazayin? So we're not talking about a piece of an Avodah Zarah. You were talking about an entire Avodah Zarah, which is less than a Kazayin in size. So is it Metamis? So Mao, what's the deal? Well, he asked the question, what is the din about it? What is the din about it? He didn't specify what the question is, whether he's asking about whether it's also Bahana or whether the fact that it's Metame. So Master Rav Yosef asked, Lamai, regarding what din are you asking whether this Avodah Zarah, less than a Kazayis, what the din of it is? Regarding what din? Ilema L'inyan Isura, are you asking about whether an Avodah Zarah, less than a Kazayis in size, is also Bahana? Of course it's also Bahana. Lo yehe ela zvuv. After all, it has no less of a status. It has no less of a status. Lo yehe ela zvuv bal ekron. It has no less of a status than the idol called zvuv, which was the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped in Ekron, which was less than a Kazayis, because it was zvuv, literally means a fly. Zvuv literally means a fly. So it was smaller than a Kazayis. Tosfos points out, actually, you have at the beginning of Melachim Beis, it tells a story over there where one of the kings of Israel, Ahaziah, is sick, and he sends his messengers to Baal's Zvuv, like Ekron, to ask whether he's going to recover, and Eliyahu meets up with the messengers and tells them that as a punishment for that, Ahaziah is going to die. So Tosfos explains that if you only had that pasuk, Baal Zvuv Elokei Ekron, you would say it was made in the shape of a fly, but it was actually larger than a Kazayis. It was made as a size. It was made larger than life size. But the Gemara is bringing over here a different pasuk, which we're going to see from that it was actually a small thing, literally the size of a fly. The Tanya, we learn it right. The pasuk says, by a similar hand, Baal Brisa Elokim. The pasuk describes in Shoftim. We have over and over in Sefer Shoftim where it tells how you had a thing going on over there where the Jewish people would be worshipping Avodah Zarah, and then Hashem would send one or another enemy to attack them. They would do tshuva, and then Hashem would send a shofet to save them, and the shofet would judge them and rule over them for many years and teach them to do the right thing, and then everybody would be doing good. And then when the shofet passed away, then they would go back to worshipping Avodah Zarah, and this repeated over and over during the times of the Shoftim. So the Pasuk mentions how after Gideon passed away, the Pasuk says the Jewish people relapsed again into worshiping Avodah Zarah, and the expression, the Pasuk, by a similar hand, Baal Bris Lelikim, they made for themselves Baal Bris to be their God. And what is Baal Bris? Zez Zvuv Baal Ekron. This means that they adopted Zvuv, the Avodah Zarah of Ekron. And as Tosfos says, the word Baal Bris implies that, as the Gemara is going to say, actually, Melamed Shekol Echad Ve'Echad Osa D'Mus Yir Osei. It means that each one who was worshipping Avodah Zarah would make an image of this Avodah Zarah, Umanicha B'Seich Kisei, and put it in his pocket, Kivin Shezoichra, and any time he would remember it, Moitzi M'Teich Kisei M'Chav Go Menashka, he would take it out of his pocket and hug it and kiss it. So we see that it itself was an Avodah Zarah. We see, in other words, that it wasn't the kind of thing, for example, where they're using it as a remembrance of something else. The fact that they would hug it and kiss it implies that they considered it itself to be the Avodah Zarah. And the fact that it says Baal Bris implies that they had a bris with it, that it's constantly with them, that they always have it with them in their pocket. So we see, in other words, it's not just talking about a larger than life of a Zara. We're actually talking about something. We're actually talking about something that was literally the size of a fly. So we see it was much smaller than a Kazayis. So we see that it was much smaller than a Kazayis, and yet it's considered an Avodah Zarah. Marshall points out an interesting thing in this connection. Why did these people do that? Marshall explains, what do we have earlier in the story of Gideon? We had there was an Avodah Zarah in his hometown that actually his father himself was involved in worshipping it. And Hashem had come to Gideon and Hashem had sent a malach to Gideon to tell him to destroy that Avodah Zarah and take the materials of it and bring a korban to Hashem, etc. And everybody's angry at him and so on and so forth. So now, what happened, the people got smart. They said, you know what, when you have big of a disorder like that, that are in a public place like that, you could come along. There could be another gig there that's going to come along and destroy them. So instead, we have a better idea. We're going to make tiny little of a disorder and keep them in our pockets, and nobody's going to be able to even raffle them then. So therefore, we see the point is, we see since they kept it in their pocket, it was very small, much smaller even than a kezias, and they would still, they worship that. So obviously, such an avodah zarah is also b'hanah, just like any other. So el of the Indian tumah. So rather, Rabbi Chadba Ba'ami's question is not as far as whether it's author, but whether it's metame. And by the way, there's a different explanation that Rishonim bring from Yerushalmi that Baal Zvuv is actually an avodah zarah in the shape of a man's organ. It's called Baal Bris after the Bris Milah. Because in other words, they took the organ which is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that you make it holy, you make your whole body holy by having a Bris, and instead they turn that into an avodah zarah. So it's called Zvuv because it was small like a fly. Anyway, the point is, again, obviously such a thing, even if it's small, is an avodah zarah because they do worship it. So no matter what the size, it is also b'hanah. So the question is, as far as tumah, the question is mine. Given the itkash l'sheret, given that we have a hekesh between avodah zarah and sheret, as we said before, ma sheret b'kadosha af avodah zarah nami b'kadosha. So maybe a sheret is mekami, even if you only have a lentil size piece. Maybe avodah zarah is the same thing. Or maybe, besides the hekesh with nida that we said before, from Tizrin Kamaidava, and besides the hekesh with sheret, because Shaka Tzachenu, in addition, there is also a hekesh between avodah zarah and a mess. We're going to bring it soon in the Gemara. You have a hekesh with between avodah zarah and a mess. So maybe it's only metama like a mess. So her itkash l'mess. Ma mess b'kazayis, af avodah zarah b'kazayis. A mess is metame only if you have a kazayis. Maybe avodah zarah is the same thing. So that's the question. Amr of Ivya, v'teimer rabba ba'ola, toshma, metame. We can prove from a braisa like this. Avodah zarah p'chusa b'kazayis, an avodah zarah. And again, we're not talking about a piece of an avodah zarah. We're talking about a complete avodah zarah that is less than a kazayis. Ain ba tumah kolikar. There is no tumah in it at all. Shenema, because there is a hekesh between avodah zarah and a mess. The pasuk says, "Vayashlech hasafara el kever bnei ha'am." So like this, you have the pasuk describes it's an aftorah of the second day of Pesach, where Yeshayahu is busy getting rid of all the avodah zarah everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk describes over there how he destroyed and burnt the avodah zarah. And he threw the dust or the ashes of it on the kvarim of the people, meaning these were people who, while they were alive, had worshipped these avodah zarah. But now Yeshayahu takes the burnt remnants, takes the burnt ashes of the avodah zarah and grinds them up, whichever pieces are left, whatever he ground up, and then he took it and threw it onto the graves of these people in order to be mevazeh them, in order to say, look at this ridiculous thing. You worshipped it when you were alive, and now it's just ground up into dust and it's strewn all over your kavarim. Later on, the passage describes that Yeshayahu actually took the bones out of those kavarim themselves and burnt them, but that was something else. But anyway, the point is, the comparison where it says, so it's not just telling us what he was doing in order to be mevazeh the avodah zarah and mevazeh the people. The fact that it uses the expression that he threw the dust of the avodah zarah on the kavarim of the people, we learn from that, ma mes b'kazayis, af avodah zarah b'kazayis. That just like a mess is metame only if there's a kazayis, so also avodah zarah. So there's the answer. So Rav Chadba Ba'ami had asked the question, and we have the answer. A Braita indeed says that an avodah zarah is smaller than a kazayis. It is also b'hanah, but it's not metame. Okay. So now the question is like this. So we said so far there are three hekeshim. We said that there's a hekesh between avodah zarah and nida, avodah zarah and sheret, and avodah zarah and meh. So, and we said according to Rabbi Lazar, So far we said, again, according to Rabbah, we said Rabbi Akiva would say that Avodah Zarah compared to Nida, in that it's Matame when you carry it, and also the Evan Mesama, and the Chachamim would disagree as far as the Evan Mesama. And then we have Rabbi Lazar's explanation that everybody would agree that it's not Matame. The Evan Mesama, the Chachamim would hold it's not Matame the Masa either. They would say it's compared to Nida only Lakula, that's Matame Le'evarim, and it's compared to shed us that it's not Matame B'Masa. So the question is, Rabbanon, L'may Hilchta Itka Shel Sheres, so what do we say? According to the Balazar's understanding of the Chachamim, there's a hekish between Avodah Zarah and Sheres, the Loi Matame B'Masa, and the Nida De'en Le'evarim, L'mech Zabon Matame B'Kandasha. So far what we're saying is it comes out that all of the hekation that we're using are all Lakula. Each one of those hekation is teaching us a Kula in the Didim of Avodah Zarah. The Hekesh with Sheres teaches us that there's no Tumas Masa. The Hekesh with Nida teaches us that it's not Le'evarim. As we said before, if you have a piece that comes off in Avodah Zarah, it's not Matame. Okay, you had Rav Chama Bar Guria's question, but we said primarily that question was only according to Rabbah's, or according to Rabbi Akiva's understanding. According to Rabbi Lazar, there may not have been room for the question. So the hekesh with Sheres teaches us an Amitam and Masa. The hekesh with Nida teaches us an Amitam and Leivarim. The hekesh with Mes teaches us that you need a Kazayis, not a Kadosha. So each of these Hakeshim, it comes out that we're using Lakula. So why? Aim of a Chumra. Maybe we should say that each of these Hakeshim is teaching us a Chumra. L'mayhu, so after Rahmana L'Sheres, we would say the other way around. That in what sense is the Pasuk making a hekesh with the words shaket shakfenu between Avodah Zarah and Sheres would be that l'tamui b'kadosha, that's matama with a smaller amount than a kazayis, even a lentil size of Avodah Zarah is enough to be matama. And the nida l'tamui b'evin l'sama, we would say the hekesh with nida teaches us Evan the Summer, like Rabbah explains Rabbi Akiva, and after Rachmana Lames the Tamuya Ba'oihel, and then say that the Hekesh with Tumas Mes is that Avodah Zarah is the Tamuya even Ba'oihel, you're just under the same roof as it or something. So why don't we say the Hekeshim work that way? The answer is Tumas Avodah Zarah did Rabbanon, because the answer is the whole Tumas Avodah Zarah is only did Rabbanon. The Kumra, the Kula, the Chumra, when we have two ways of learning a Hekesh, one results in a Kula, and one results in a Chumra, L'kula makshinim, L'chumra l'makshinim. We only do it L'kula when it's talking about it, Dindir Abanan, then we do it L'kula and not L'chumra. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explained, of the three occasion that we're talking about, two of them involve Sukkim in Nevi'im. You have the Pasuk Tizrin K'modava, which is the comparison with Nida, which comes from Yeshaya. You have Bayashlech HaZafara Al-Kevah B'nei Ha'am, which is from Molochim. Both of those are Nevi'im. And then you have Shaket. Okay, Shaket Shaktenu is in the Torah, but Rashi explains primarily the meaning of the word Shaket Shaktenu is you should consider Avodah Zarah disgusting in the sense that, for example, you should call it by a derogatory name. You have the Gemara mentions in Avodah Zarah. Rashi brings it in Re'eh, that, for example, if you have a place where the Goyim worshipped Avodah Zarah and they called it by an honorable name, you not only have to destroy the Avodah Zarah there, but you also have to make fun of it and call it by a derogatory name. So therefore, that's mainly what Shaket Shaktenu teaches us. So not the fact that we're saying that we're comparing Avodah Zarah to a Sheres is only an Asmachta. So therefore, the whole din is dirabanan, and therefore, when we have these hakeshim and we're going to use them to determine the parameters of the din dirabanan, we're going to go lakula with each one of them. So that results in what we said before, that each of these hakeshim teaches us a kula. Sheres teaches us there's no tumas masa, nida teaches us there's no evarim, and mes teaches us that it's not less than a kazai. And that's that. So again, that's all according to Rabbi Lazar, and the halacha is in fact like that, and the Rambam in fact paskins like that. And says that you do take all of these three occasions of Lakola. That's all according to Rabbi Lazar. We said before, we learned yesterday, that Rabbah would say that at least some of them are taken Lakumra, because he says, when the Pasuk says Tizrin K'modav, when he says, throw it away like a Dabba, meaning, in other words, that keep it completely far from you, so therefore that shows, Rabbah says, that at least some of these occasions have to be taken Lakumra. But Rabbi Lazar disagrees with that and says they can all be taken to the Kula because, after all, the whole thing is only the Rabbanan. Worth mentioning in this connection, as far as this thing about being machana shame avodah zara, to call it by a shame gnai. One example of that you have, there was a, you know, nowadays we're not really as careful about that. We have those various cities in the country, for example, that are called Sam this or Santa that or whatever, and people often call them by their full names. Although you'll notice on the shavuot lachatanias that were printed in those places, you never have that. They'll always leave off San or the Santa. You'll have, for example, the Tanya printed in Francisco and Diego and Monica and so forth. But there was, for example, there was a town in Russia called Belyaserkov, which means white church. So the Jews who lived there used to call it instead Shvarta Tuna, which is an example of this kind of thing of calling Avodah Zarah by a derogatory name. Interesting, I once saw when it came to writing Gittin in this place, they didn't want to write that openly because, after all, you know, if a debt falls into the hands of a goy, then they could be in big trouble. So they used to write the name of the place, or the whole shame to Islam, any other name that it has. We Jews know that it has a different name, but we're not going to write it. We're not going to write it out for the goyim to find. All right.
Thank you very much.